that followers of Jesus must uphold the truth of Jesus and walk according to His commandments.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
It has been said that we live in a post-truth age. Some of you may remember that Time magazine famously asked a question in 1966. They put it on the cover there. It said, "Is God dead?" And that article explored the idea that modern society no longer had any need for the notion of a God, that we had advanced so much that we didn't need to engage in superstition like God and God talk anymore. Well, just recently then, Time mimicked that cover asking, "Is God dead?" And it asked, "Is truth dead? Is truth dead?" Now, as it turns out, that article was a little more about politics than metaphysics, but it does reflect our postmodern times. It does reflect our culture. But I want you to know, I have some news for you tonight. This might be a little earth-shattering for us, but truth is not dead. It is not dead. And the truth is still the truth, no matter what society may say. But that said, it is true that we live in a culture which is profoundly skeptical and outright hostile toward metaphysical and moral truth claims, toward truth claims about ultimate truth, and about what is right and what is wrong. Or, to be more accurate, we live in a culture which claims there is no truth, we cannot know truth, and yet the reality is there is a truth claim that our culture makes. So when they say, "Is truth dead and we can't make truth claims," really what they're saying is that truth claims that go against the prevailing attitudes and beliefs of the academic, political, and entertainment elites. These things we can't say. Those aren't true, which of course are truth claims. Now, all of that, you might have to ask yourself then, what does that have to do with us here this morning? Well, as you will see, truth and walking in the truth is a major focus of our message today. And so we're continuing in our series here, Small Books with Big Messages, looking at these small books of the New Testament that oftentimes get overlooked in preaching or teaching. But we want to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God here. And so we are looking then now last week at Philemon, today 2 John, and then upcoming weeks at 3 John and Jude. And these books may be small in terms of words, of how many verses they contain, but their messages are big. They are important. They contain powerful messages about such things as reconciliation, as obedience, as mutual care, integrity and perseverance in the faith. And these things need to be heard today just as much as when they were first written. So today then we're looking at 2 John. Now, before we look at the text, a little background information. Who wrote this and when and to whom and why? Well, the author was the Apostle John. He identifies himself in this letter as the elder, and many believe that that was the Apostle John. I think that's true. That's who it is. And it was probably written around A.D. 90, which would be, what, about 60 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And who were the recipients? Well, believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why was he writing this letter? Well, he was writing this little letter to encourage believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in love and truth, and to give no hospitality to false teachers. So walking in love and truth, and then giving no quarter, no hospitality for those who were perverting truth, the truth of the Word of God. So today then, 2 John, verses 1 through 13, here we will see that followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus, must uphold the truth of Jesus. Well, the truth of Jesus simply is truth, isn't it? The truth. Uphold the truth of Jesus and to walk according to his commandments. So before we look at our text, a little context here. As we said, John here, he identifies himself as the elder. Now, there have been some that suggested, well, maybe this wasn't the Apostle John, that this was another John. There was an early church leader known as John the Elder. But I think when you look at the arguments of it, and we're not going to go into those arguments. By the way, who is happy that we're not going to go into extensive argumentation about who the author of the book is? But we're not going to do that this morning. I think it's safe to say this John, though, is the Apostle John, who was one of the disciples of Jesus. He was the beloved disciple, and he was the one who wrote the Gospel of John, as well as 1 John, this letter, 3 John, and what other book? Revelation. If you're a member of our Wednesday night Bible study, you better get that answer correct, because we're studying Revelation there now. So this is John, the Apostle John, identifying himself as the elder, and he writes this letter to the elect lady and her children. I was sitting there saying, what is this all about? To the elect lady and her children. Some have suggested, and it's possible, that this was an actual woman in a church, as well as her children, that he was writing this to. Now, that's possible, but I think the better explanation of this is that he is using this as a figurative way of referring to a local body of believers, that this elect lady was another church, a small church congregation, and her children represented what? The members of that church body. It's just a figurative way of referring to that. And you might wonder, well, why would he do something like that? Well, the reality is that it's not unusual for the scriptures to use figurative expressions for people or groups of people. In fact, there is, and oftentimes using a feminine form. For example, there is another figurative expression for believers of Jesus Christ, which is a feminine form. We say that the church is the what of Christ? The bride of Christ, right? So I think this elect lady and her children that he is writing to is simply a church congregation. Now, John, he had served as a pastor and ministered to a number of churches in the area of what we would call Turkey today, Asia Minor in the scriptures, Turkey today. And I think he was writing from one of those churches in that area to believers in another church, whom he calls the elect lady and her children. To be elect means what? To be chosen. See that God has chosen believers. He has chosen people out of the world and chosen to bless them with favor, eternal favor in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this church is the elect, the chosen lady, and her children, the members of that church. He wants to encourage them to stand firm in the truth, to stand firm in the truth. You see, it seems there was a problem with false teaching in the church in that day. As I've said before, aren't you glad we don't have any trouble with false teaching anymore in the church? Well, again, folks, what? The more things change, the more they stay the same, right? There was a huge problem with false teaching. You think about it today, as I said, we have problems with false teaching in the church today, don't we? There are many examples of false teaching. It's not just hostility from without the church, from the culture, denying the truth claims of the scriptures. But it is also, though, sometimes even from within. Some who say that they are believers, they're Christians, they're followers of Christ, and yet they're teaching things that are clearly against the Word of God. Well, that happens today. We have the Word of God. And some of us, we need to be discerning, don't we? We need to watch out for that. Well, how much more so, though, in the day before when the scriptures, New Testament scriptures, were still being written and collected, and they didn't have the scriptures the way that we do today? How much more vulnerable were they then to the threat of false teachers? See, these teachers would come into a town, they would present themselves as teachers, as a Christian teacher, go into a church, kind of set up shop there and teach, and how would you know if what they said was the truth or not? You'd have to compare it to what you had been taught before. But they didn't always have it written yet. So you can see why there was a danger, why it was such a problem, even still a problem today. So he is telling them to watch out then for false teachers. And who were these? There were a variety, a number of different kinds of false teachings, of heresies. And the one that seems to be at the heart of what John is warning about here at this time to these believers is that there were some who were coming into the church and they were denying the humanity of Jesus, denying that Jesus had come in the flesh, that is, that he was human, that he was fully human. Now we know that the scriptural teaching about Jesus is that, is he God? Is he God? Absolutely. Is Jesus a man? Is he human?
Yes.
Scriptural teaching is what? He is God and he is man. He's fully God, fully man, truly man. But he's not some weird hybrid or mix of the two, but he's fully both, those two natures, human and divine, in one person. But here were some were coming in and they were denying the humanity of Jesus. They were saying that he was God, but he only appeared to be human. He wasn't really human. He just appeared that way. That's kind of the opposite of our issue here today, isn't it? Today, people are more inclined to deny the deity of God, the godhood. I said deity of God. Well, they deny that too. The deity of Jesus, right? The deity of Jesus, the godhood of Jesus. And those, he was just a man. He was human, but he wasn't God. That's what we said. It's kind of the opposite. Well, here they were saying, well, yeah, he's God, but he wasn't human. And the reality is both of those are critically important to our redemption and reflect the truth. So John is writing then to encourage them to walk in truth, to walk in love, and to give no quarter or no place to this false teaching which was destructive to them, to the church. So let's look then at the book of 2 John, starting in verses 1 through 3, where John says, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love." So here we see a greeting. It's really a powerful greeting there. Did you notice there were some words that seemed to keep appearing again and again already right there at the start? Probably the one word that you see more than any other there. What word was that? Truth. Right? Truth. John says that he loves them. He loves them in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. That there is something that binds us together. Now, of course, that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in him, our love of him and for him. But it's his truth then that binds us together. He says he loves them in truth, and he loves all who know the truth, because that truth abides in us and will be with us forever. So truth is something that abides. Abides means what? To remain. The truth remains in us as followers of Jesus, and it will be with us forever. How can an abstract concept be with us forever? Because truth is not just an abstract concept, is it? Truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. Jesus said what? He is the life. He is the way. He is the truth, right? The way, the truth, and the life. So the truth remains in us and will be with us forever. We are never going to have to wonder what's true and what isn't, because the truth is in us and will remain in us and with us forever. Now, as it is right now, we are capable of being deceived, aren't we? And that's why we have to practice discernment. But the day is coming when there will be no more need for discernment, because we will see Him clearly. We will see Him who is truth clearly and will abide with us forever. And he says, "What grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love." You know what I find interesting about that? You know, one of the important is, now, if we have any Wonder Lake Bible Institute students here, and I know there are a few of us here, all right? Remember, one of our courses was on how to study the Bible, and I'm not going to put anybody on the spot and make you recite the three-step process of Bible study. Okay, maybe we could, but remember we said what? It's what? The three-step process of what? Observation. What's next? Interpretation. And finally, what? Application. Observation, interpretation. Observation, what do I see? What does the text say? Interpretation, what does the text mean? And then application, how do I apply this text to my life? The truth of this text, how does that apply in my life? What am I to do in response to this? Well, if you do a little observation, that first step there, I find it interesting that just that little phrase, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father. We've seen that oftentimes in greetings, right? Grace, mercy, and peace. But you notice something a little bit different about this one and what John says here? You notice a verb tense there? It says what? Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. You don't usually see that, do you? Usually it says what? Grace, mercy, and peace to you. May God's grace, may His mercy and His peace be with you right now. But here he says, God's grace, mercy, and peace, what? Will be with us. It's a promise. We have it now. But what? We will always have it. Right? Well, we will always have it what? As we abide or remain in the truth. When we remain in the truth, when we remain intimately connected to Christ, then grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. And the truth will abide in us and will be with us forever. From God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Truth and love. Love and truth. That expression right there. You know what? I think that those two words, truth and love, are really at the heart of authentic discipleship. And we're discipleship, what is that? What is that? That's one of those words we've probably heard a million times in church, right? What is that? You know what? That would make a great subject for a summer sermon series. Discipleship, what it is. Hey, maybe we'll do that. Is that anybody like that? A summer series on discipleship, that we're going to talk about that. And we're going to look at some of the challenges to discipleship in our day from the culture. I think we'll do that this summer. So there you go. But discipleship, what is that? Well, discipleship, to be a disciple of Jesus, means to be a student, a learner, a follower of Jesus Christ. It's to be in relationship to Jesus and to be seeking to imitate Him, follow Him. So a disciple of Jesus is a believer, yes. But it's a believer what? Who is seeking to imitate or to be more and more like Jesus. But it starts with that relationship, and that relationship is through our good works. No, it's through what? Faith. Through faith in Him. So those words, truth and love, I think those two words are at the heart of authentic discipleship of Jesus. Authentically, truly following Jesus, being a true follower of Jesus, truth and love. It means knowing the truth, walking in the truth, or being obedient to that truth, and expressing what this attitude of love. It's not enough just to know the truth in your head. We've got to walk in the truth. In the scriptures, when we walk in something, it's what? It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle, step by step, right? It's walking in truth. It's a lifestyle of truth, being obedient to the truth that we know. It's not just in our heads. It's in our hearts. It's in our daily lives. And I do not live out the truth of Jesus perfectly every day. I know this is a shocking confession here, right? Does anybody here perfectly live out the truth of Jesus every single day of your life? No. But that's growth in discipleship, in following Jesus, isn't it? Knowing the truth, obedience to the truth, walking in that truth daily. Not enough just to know, we must do. But you know what? Sometimes we can know the truth and we can be obedient to some of the truth, but be disobedient to other parts of the truth. Or is that just me that has an issue with that sometimes? All right? Well, one of the key elements of truth, and I would say that really kind of sums up the whole commands of God, is that word, love. Loving God with all of our being, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving God first and foremost with all of our being. That's walking in truth. But then what? Loving our neighbor as ourself. And then Jesus said what? Speaking of fellow believers, take a good look around this room here. Jesus said, you see the person next to you here? As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Love and truth are at the heart of authentic Christian discipleship. So John goes on to say, I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. So hear what? Walk in love and truth. Walk in love and truth. Seems John had encountered some of the believers from this local congregation to whom he was writing. He had encountered some of them somewhere, and he saw that they were walking in the truth. You know, as he says in another letter, John says what? He has no greater joy than to see his children walking in the truth. Now, was he talking about his biological sons or daughters? No. Maybe they were. We don't know. But no, that's what he was saying. He's saying his children what? Believers, when he sees believers walking in the truth, because Are there persons who have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in Him, but are not walking in the truth? I think we can all admit, yeah, unfortunately that can happen, right? But he says, what a joy it is when he sees them walking in the truth. That is, being obedient to the Scriptures, loving as they have been loved. There's no greater joy than that. So he says, I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. And he reminds them of this commandment to love one another. It's not a new commandment. So what? We've had it from the beginning. From the beginning, this has been the commandment of God, right? To love. God said the first and the greatest commandment is to love Him, love God with all of our being. The second, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then Jesus said, as believers, as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. There's nothing new about that. So we are to love. And of course, by love, he is talking about that warm, fuzzy feeling of affection that we have in our hearts, right? Have a warm, fuzzy feeling affectionate for everybody. Is that what he's saying? No. Now, you may have warm, fuzzy, affectionate feelings. And by the way, I am not down on feelings. I think feelings are okay. It's okay to have warm, fuzzy, affectionate feelings. In fact, I think warm, fuzzy, affectionate feelings make life, one of the things that make life nice, right? Make life better. When we don't have any warm, fuzzy, affectionate feelings, life can be pretty cold, can it? So I'm not down on warm, fuzzy, affectionate feelings. But when the Scripture talks about love, that's not what love is. That's not. Now, warm, fuzzy, affectionate feelings may be associated with love. But love is not those feelings. Love, according to what we just read right there, is what? It's our actions. It's obedience to the truth. That's love. You say you love someone, then be obedient to what God says is right. That's showing love for someone, is to be obedient to what God says ought to govern our relationships with one another. So we say, well, we love one another in this church, and I know we do. I know there's a lot of love in this church. But the best way to express that love isn't fuzzy feelings. It's being obedient to what God says about how we are to treat one another, the attitudes that we are to have. In fact, what is the attitude we are to have? Well, Paul says in Philippians, what? Have this same attitude in yourselves which was in Christ Jesus. And what was the attitude Jesus had? He left the throne of heaven and humbled himself, making himself a servant, being made flesh like one of us, coming into this world and being a servant. He didn't just come into the world as a great king, seeking everyone to honor him and worship him. He deserved that. No, but he came into the world, what? As a humble servant who was obedient even unto the point of death. And not just any death, but death on a cross, crucifixion. That's quite an attitude, a humble attitude, don't you think? And Paul says what? Have this same attitude in yourselves. Is that attitude, is that the kind of attitude, that kind of self-sacrificing humility and servanthood? Is that the attitude I have toward each one of you? Is that the attitude you have toward the person sitting next to you? See, that's love. That's love. Being obedient to the commands of Scripture. So love is obedience to the Father's commandments. And he says, what? Many deceivers have gone out into the world. You know, the problem with deception is when it gets mixed with a lot of truth. If something is just outright, totally false, it's pretty obvious, right? The real danger with deception is when there's just enough truth in there to make it seem right or believable. And unfortunately, there's a lot of that out there, isn't there? Okay, I'm going to get on that little soapbox again here. You know I don't have much use for a lot of so-called Christian television, right? And there's a reason for it. It's because a lot of the stuff on so-called Christian television is garbage. Now, I know they may say the name Jesus, and they may even say things that are true, but a lot of it is what? Is this prosperity gospel heresy? So we need to be discerning. Discerning. Just because someone uses the name of Jesus doesn't mean they're speaking truth. It's got to line up with this, doesn't it? So many deceivers have gone out into the world. And in this case, they were saying what? They do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. That is, they were denying his humanity. He says, what? This is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, there is one Antichrist who is yet to come in the end times. But there is a spirit of Antichrist then and now, isn't there? The spirit of that which is anti, against Christ. And he warns them, watch yourself, that we may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, I think he holds us securely in his hand. We're not going to lose our salvation, but we can lose reward, can't we? It says, watch yourselves. You don't want to lose out on reward you could have had by not being discerning and by not abiding and remaining and persevering in that truth. Watch yourself, that you may win a full reward. You see, it matters what we do. No, it matters what we believe, and it matters what we do. What we believe affects what we do, doesn't it? And so if we want to win a full reward, see, the scripture says that all believers in Jesus are going to face the judgment seat of Christ. That isn't for the purpose of salvation. That's been decided in Christ, right? It is finished. But we will be judged for our works, what we have done in this life for Christ, for the purpose of reward. And so there are some that are going to be greatly rewarded, and others not as much. There may be some reward that we could have had that we won't experience because of what we did or didn't do. So he says, watch out, that you won't lose what you've worked for, but that you may win a full reward by what? Persevering in love and truth. And John says, those who go on ahead, those who go out from the truth, they are not of the truth. That is, they do not have the Father or the Son. But those who remain, those who persevere in the truth, they have the Father and the Son. So he says, if someone comes to you preaching a message contrary to the truth, do not receive them. Do not give them hospitality. Do not give them your greeting. And you might think, well, that's not very nice. Christians are supposed to be nice, aren't we? Well, I would say Christians are supposed to be good. See, sometimes we can be nice, and by being nice, we're not being good to that person or for that person, right? Or being good for others. Now, I'm not saying that we should be rude jerks, all right? I think, yes, we should be nice in the sense that we should be kind to people, polite, all of those things. But here he says, when false teachers come, do not give them your greeting, do not give them hospitality. Why? Now, remember, there weren't a lot of Motel 6s or Best Westerns around in those days. So a traveling teacher would come, and what would they do? They would need to be put up in a home. And so, oh, well, here's a teacher coming to your church. Well, come, stay with us in our home. Greet them, that is, give them hospitality. Meet their needs. He says, if they come to you, these false teachers, Don't do that. Don't let them stay with you. Don't give them your greeting. Don't show them that hospitality. Why? Because they're just introducing false teaching. What are you doing? That'd be like getting out your checkbook and writing a big check to some prosperity gospel ministry. What are you doing? You're throwing away your resources on false teaching, right? Don't do that. You're participating in wrong when you do that. Now, we're going to see next week, some believers took that idea a little bit too far, and they weren't welcoming good teachers, right teachers. Does that surprise anybody that people hear one thing and then they go way over here with it instead of hearing what they were supposed to hear? Right? So don't do that. Don't receive them. Don't give them hospitality because you're advancing error by doing that. Finally, he says, though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. See, here we see one of the first indications of the internet, even in biblical times. You see, he says he doesn't want to use paper and ink. He wants to send him an email. Anybody believe that? No. See, that is an example of not walking in truth, what I just did there. That was telling a lie, right? No, actually, it was a joke. But he says, no, I have much to write to you, but I don't want to use paper and ink. Better yet, I want to come and see you, and I want to talk face to face. Because here's the thing, so that our joy may be complete. It's one thing to write truth on paper and ink to someone, and they have that. But where's the joy in that? The joy is what? Face to face. He wants to see him and tell him these things face to face. The children of your elect sister greet you. Can I, this is just a way of saying what? Those in this local body? Let's say if John was writing from Wonder Lake Bible Church, and he was writing to the church in a church in McHenry. Said McHenry, the elect lady and her children. Well, what? The children of your elect sister, the children of your sister here in Wonder Lake greet you, McHenry. Right? He hopes to come and see them soon, face to face, in order that their joy may be complete. And this local church family, they greet you. They send you their love and their greeting as well. I say, so what? What does this have to do with my life here today? Well, again, I want to remind us that followers of Jesus must uphold the truth of Jesus and walk according to his commandments. And that's love. See, that's walking in love and truth. It means practicing discernment. You know, there are ministries out there called apologetics ministries that defend the faith in the marketplace of ideas out in the world. But they also oftentimes are paired with discernment. That's looking at what's going on inside the church. Because just because somebody uses the name Jesus doesn't mean it's the truth. We need to practice discernment. Compare it with the scriptures always. Be Bereans. Comparing everything I say with this. Practicing wisdom and discernment. And if you ever want to know any question about any questionable teaching or book or something, I'd be happy to talk to you. But you know, there's a wonderful resource right here in this church body. That's Don and Joy Vino right back there with Midwest Christian Outreach. Don, would you be happy to talk to anybody about any topic? Absolutely, I know you would. So practice discernment. That's walking in the truth. But the truth isn't just having right doctrine here in our heads. It's what being obedient. That's walking in love. Walking in love and truth. Being obedient to the truth. And loving one another as Jesus has loved us. Now this is a small book. But that's a big message for us here today, isn't it? Walk in love and truth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this big message in this small book that you have given to us today. God, I pray that you would give us all wisdom and discernment. Give us a discerning heart that is always seeking to compare what we hear with the truth of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that the truth is, it's not just an abstract metaphysical concept, but truth is a person. You are the truth, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, I pray then that we would know you better and better, more deeply, more fully, to know your love and to walk in your truth, being obedient to your commandments. Lord, we want our reward to be full as we persevere, as we remain in truth. And we pray these things then in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.